gather on a lucent night, staring at empyrean skies of wonder. Don't be afraid to let it pass you by. All that matters is you and I and each other. We were born under lucky stars. We were born under lucky stars. Watch your memories drift away. Look ahead to another day and discover. What you feel is here right now. Every moment conceived somehow from another. We were born under lucky stars. We were born under lucky stars. And breathe with me, precious as a dream could be. I feel you. Under the watch of Orion, safe until the morning comes to steal you. We were born lucky stars. We were born under lucky stars. We were born under lucky stars. We were born under lucky stars.
That was the song Under the Lucky Stars from the Austin band Reckless Kelly. Welcome to Talkin' Music. I'm Allie Lightfoot. Cody and Willie Braun grew up in the White Cloud Mountains of Idaho and began touring the country as children as part of their father's band Muzzy Braun and the Boys. They formed the alternative country rock outfit Reckless Kelly in October of 1996 and moved to Austin, Texas. For two decades, this band has toured coast to coast nonstop. I caught up with Willie Braun this summer when they were touring through Colorado. Here Willie talks about what he's proud of and what he'd change about the band if he could.
we managed to kind of keep playing the music that we want to play, and we've made some records that we're proud of, and you know, we're still making a living doing it, and you know, we've never really hit the mainstream big time or anything, but you know, like I said, we're having a good time and we're making music that we're still proud of and happy to play. So I don't know, other than maybe telling myself to pace myself a little better, maybe. Mm-hmm. I think we probably wouldn't change a lot.
Well, that's good. You started performing with your dad, Muzzy Braun, and the Little Braun brothers, and your grandfather also was a performer. So it's been three generations of men in your family that have taken this path. I wanted to ask you a little bit about the women in your family and the role that they play, either as support or audience or as inspiration for the music that you guys make, starting with your mom.
Yeah, well, it's a good thing you started with mom, because there's not a lot of girls in the Braun family. We've got a few cousins and an aunt or two, but most of the kids in our generation were boys for some reason. But yeah, mom is she's amazing. When we were kids, we were on the road in the family band, and she was kind of our road manager, and she sewed all of our shirts, and you know, she's just kind of like a super mom. Whenever anybody says that they have the greatest mom in the world, I'm always just kind of like, oh, that's adorable, because my mom definitely is. But she doesn't play any music, but she likes our music, and she just kind of kept us in line when we were kids and continues to kind of be the North Star for us. You know, she's if mom wouldn't be happy with us, then we will think twice about doing it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you guys are famous for your CD packaging. I mean, you're famous for a lot of things, but that's one of the things that, in fact, you won a Grammy for it, right? Yeah. I didn't even know they gave out Grammys for packaging. So your latest album, released in 2016, Sunset Motel, had a Grammy nomination for Best Packaging.
Yeah.
Did you win, or has it happened yet?
We've made three records on our own label, No Big Deal Records, and since we started that label, these two sisters, Sarah and Shauna Dodds, have a company called Backstage Design in Austin, and they've done all three of those records for us, and all three of them got nominated for Best Packaging. And the second one they did was called Long Night Moon, and that one actually won the Grammy. That was a few years ago, but they just do amazing work, and you know, we give them a few ideas in the title, and you know, kind of point them in the right direction, and you know, kind of just wait and see what they come up with. And they always just come up with just amazing concepts and ideas, and you know, they take a concept that we'll give them and just turn it into something really cool. And it's definitely it's been fun, because not a lot of people do the artwork anymore. You know, they kind of have gotten away from that because it's more expensive, and not a lot of people buy a lot of records, you know, and the physical copy at least. So you know, we've always thought that was a big part of the whole experience, is you know, being able to check out the liner notes and the artwork and everything. So we try to keep doing it, and I think the fans appreciate it, so we'll probably keep doing it as long as they still actually print CDs.
It's not just the artwork though. You guys have like maps and other things that you can get with the packaging, right?
Yeah, we always have bells and whistles in there. This one comes with a key ring that you can look through, and it changes things on the map. It kind of reveals hidden messages, and there's some postcards in there, and there's a full-on road map, and there's a few other things I can't even think of right now. But yeah, we always try to throw in some extra stuff.
Do you feel like now the bar is really high for your packaging? Are you always like thinking of the next like thing that you can throw on there?
Yeah, we are. And it's at some point we're going to have to kind of rein ourselves in, because it does get pretty expensive, especially when you're not selling a lot of records. So I don't know. We may have raised the bar a little too high, but we always want to make sure it's at least pretty cool and, you know, something that people will want to have a physical copy of. Mm-hmm.
So one song off of Sunset Motel that I really loved is Radio. And it's sort of a how-to guide for up-and-comers in the music industry in a way. And it exposes the, I guess, the shallow side of music, of the music industry anyway. Did you ever have anyone come up to you that was, I don't know, like felt like you were singing about them and maybe respond to that song?
No, I haven't so far, knock on wood. But I don't know. Anybody that heard that probably will think it's everybody else and not them. But, you know, it's kind of tongue-in-cheek. And it started out with, you know, just the idea that there's a lot of bands and artists that kind of, for some reason, don't do as much homework as they maybe should have. And they don't really have a grasp of the music that came before them beyond like just a few years back, you know, and maybe they didn't do quite as much practicing as they should have. You know, there's a lot of guys out there that learn three or four chords and they write a few songs enough to make a record and then they hit the road and they think that's all there is to it. So, you know, and that's one way to do it, but that's just kind of not the way we think it should be done. You know, it should be a little bit more time spent working on your craft and, you know, pay your dues a little bit before you get out there and get on the radio. And so it's kind of just a tongue-in-cheek look at some of the guys that maybe kind of slipped through the cracks and found a way to do it without putting the work in.
Come on, you young lads, with your trucker chain pads and your hair just beginning to grow. Well, you got a good look, and that's all it took to get you booked on the next big show. They're gonna know, they're gonna see you, they're gonna hear your name wherever they go. You got a couple true fans and a marketing plan, and now we just gotta get you on the radio. Yeah, you gotta get on. Get you on the radio, yeah, you gotta get on the radio. It doesn't take a lot of talent, but no one knows. You gotta get on the radio. You're gonna sound so good in stereo, but you gotta get on the radio. Guaranteed a seat upon the plateau. Now all those records that came before you, they're overrated and they play it too slow. But don't feel bad, man, I know it's a drag, but they ain't playing hag on the radio. And you gotta get on the radio if you wanna be a big shot rolling in the dough. You gotta get on the radio. Everybody's stuck in traffic, they got go. You gotta get on the radio if you're looking for
That was the song Radio from Reckless Kelly. I spoke with Willie Braun from the band this summer.
Do you guys feel like you have mentored any bands or musicians in, you know, in the process of your 20 years doing this?
I guess so. You know, there's a lot of bands that say that, you know, we've been big influences on them, and, you know, you can kind of hear our sound in a few people's, you know, songs or whatever. And just every once in a while I'll hear a song on the radio and go like, yeah, well, maybe those guys heard some of our stuff, you know, and kind of took a nod from it. But there's, you know, just a bunch. There's so many bands coming out right now that it's hard to even, it's hard to put your finger on what everybody's inspired by these days, because music has gotten so vast and, you know, there's so many different genres, and, you know, it's hard to even put a title on anything anymore. So I think we definitely have had an impact on the scene, and, you know, there's probably some people that went and saw us play that wanted to, you know, kind of emulate what we do. But I don't know, I still kind of try to trick ourselves into thinking that we're still one of the young bands out there.
You are. You guys look young.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. In the album Bulletproof, which was released in the summer of 2008, you included some tracks that have more of a political message in them. American Blood, you were reflecting on the Iraq War. Godforsaken Town was about Hurricane Katrina. Volcano on Sunset Motel seems to me like there's a little bit of a political message in there. You're exploring climate change and environmental issues. Are you writing any songs currently that explore what's going on in America right now? Because it's pretty interesting.
It's very interesting. And yeah, I've got a bunch of ideas. I'm actually not writing a lot right now, but I'm kind of just stockpiling ideas. And I have, you know, a few verses and choruses and a lot of lines and melodies in my head that I kind of have written down somewhere. And I'll end up writing those when I really get into writing the next record. And I'm sure there's going to be something along those lines on there, maybe a song or two that kind of talks about what's going on right now. And but, you know, it's those political type songs. They always kind of start for me just trying to find something else to write about besides, you know, another love song or another heartbreak song or a song about the road, you know. So you know, I don't really ever set out trying to be all political or anything, because then, you know, you end up having to have a lot of conversations about them. And I don't really know a lot about politics. So, you know, you end up kind of getting yourself into a position where people think you might know more than you actually do. And so I try to avoid having political conversations and let the songs kind of speak for themselves. But yeah, it's a different thing to do, to sit down and write a song about an issue that there's two sides of, you know, or more than one side, you know, because everybody's going to have an opinion on it, and half the people are going to be on your side and the other half aren't. So you kind of have to know that going into it, that you're going to have to deal with that. You know, the perfect example is Woody Guthrie and all the songs he wrote. There's a lot. This Land Is Your Land is a huge political statement, which has kind of become a folk song, but, you know, a lot of people don't realize that that was a big, huge statement that he was making back then, and he got in a lot of trouble for it. But I don't know, the guys that I listen to that, you know, talk about politics in their songs, like Dylan and Steve Earle and Springsteen, guys like that, you know, those, I love listening to the songs, but when I go see them play, I don't want to hear them talk about politics, you know. So I prefer that they leave it, you know, let the song speak for themselves. And I think a lot of fans think that way too, you know. So I try not to get up there and, you know, get on my soapbox on stage. I just rather play some music, and you know, if they can catch a message from the songs, then that's great. And if not, then maybe they just like the melody.
You're listening to an interview with Willie Braun of the band Reckless Kelly. Here's their song Volcano from their latest album Sunset Motel. The song explores the issue of climate change.
The water's cold, deep too, when the ice all melts. We're fish food, not to question your beliefs, baby, not to be rude, but you better wrap your head around the magnitude of living on a volcano. When's it gonna blow? Living on a volcano, you'll be the first to know. Well, we can't save the whales, we got some bigger fish to fry. Can't waste no money growing trees with this election to buy. Watching vanish.
banished from the earth like it's part of God's plan. Climate change is just a hoax, and so is monkey to man. There's all kinds of theories, and you can't argue that. But just a couple hundred years ago, this world was still flat. So open up your minds and open up your eyes. You might be in for a big surprise. When you're living on a volcano, when's it gonna blow? Living on a volcano, we'll be the first to know. We'll be the first to know. Drought. We're making a killing, we're passing the buck, but you won't need money, just a whole lot of love. When you're living on a volcano, when's it gonna blow? Living on a volcano, we'll be the first to know. We'll be the first to know. Oh, oh,
oh. That was the song Volcano from Reckless Kelly. Now back to the interview with Willie Braun of the band who I spoke to last summer.
So coming up in August, you have the Braun Brothers reunion where thousands of people gather in Challis, Idaho for this event. So besides the size of this event, how has it sort of changed and taken on a life of its own? Are there any strange traditions that have come out of this event that surprised you, where you're like, wait, who organized this?
Well, it's this thing my parents have been doing for a long time. Like, they started putting on their own little festivals and street dances and stuff back in the 70s, and the Braun Brothers reunion started in the 80s, and it's just something that used to be just my dad's band and his brothers. And then when my brothers and I started getting old enough to play, we kind of joined in, and then some other local bands would play. And it always used to be just a flatbed and, you know, a handful of local bands. And then when we moved down to Texas and we would come back up and play it, we started bringing some of our friends from Texas to come play. And it became a two-day event, and then we made it a three-day event. And it's just kind of really grown really gradually and slowly. And now we have a lot of people coming in from out of state and kind of from all over the country, and even some people from out of the country that come up to it every year. And other than just, you know, it's a bigger crowd and way more bands, it's kind of remained the same. We want to keep the small town feel to it. And, you know, my brothers and I have started taking it over. My folks are kind of stepping back a little bit and letting us take the reins a little bit on it. And so this year we're kind of having more involvement in that. But we really, our main goal is to keep it the same, which has been family focused. You know, you can bring your kids, and you know, we don't want anybody out there fighting or anything like that. And it's always the music is the most important thing, and people come up there and they listen to the music, and you know, they have a great time. And there's not really any corporate sponsorship or any vendors or anything like that. It's all about, you know, just people hanging out on the grass and listening to music for 3 days, and that's what we want to keep it like. And we don't want it to get too crowded, so we're going to cap it at, you know, a certain amount of tickets and make sure that everybody still has a good time and a little room to move around.
So the way that you guys grew up, I saw this video on, I guess it's like a PBS video of you all when you were kids, and it was very rustic. You grew up in a home with no running water in the winter, no electricity, and it seems like because you grew up in this sort of isolated way, you were really able to focus on music at an early age, and you were also touring at a young age as well. But I wonder if you ever, and I think I know the answer to this because I've listened to the lyrics of your songs, but if you ever long for that sort of lifestyle again, because you're not like living like that and when you're at home in Austin, are you?
You know what? I have a place up in Idaho where I grew up, and I get up there a lot, and it's out in the middle of nowhere. And I do have electricity and running water out there, but my phone doesn't work. You know, I hooked up the internet and a landline for a while, but then I shut it back off because I didn't like people being able to get in touch with me up there. So when I go up there, it is kind of like what it was like when I was a kid. And I actually went out there this winter and the water was frozen, so I couldn't get it back on, and I had to park about a mile or half a mile away from the place and walk in because there was a lot of snow. And it was kind of fun for, it was only about 4 or 5 days that I was up there doing that, but it was a little bit of a step back in time for me for when I was a kid, where it was, you know, basically just a wood stove and, you know, sitting around with nothing else to do but play music or write songs. And so I do get to do that quite a bit because I got a place there and a place in Austin, and I kind of bounce back and forth. But, you know, I don't know if I'll ever go back to the no electricity or running water thing, but that's what camping's for.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. I've been speaking with Willie Braun of Reckless Kelly.
Thank you.
My thoughts are out the door. My words about to pour. My boots are on the boards. I'm gonna hit the ground running. Eyes are up ahead. I'm lonely in this bed. My home is in my head. I'm gonna hit the ground running. My choices have been made. My dues have all been paid. I gotta burn before I fade. I'm gonna hit the ground running. I'll be running when I hit the ground. I don't turn my porch light on when I leave home, cause I'm gone a lot and I ain't got nothing to steal. I don't kiss my baby goodbye, see I got no baby, cause I'm gone a lot and I don't know how to deal. Keep looking for something that's real. Going out on the road, gonna ramble all over America. I was born on the run, and I'm never gonna settle down. Baby, I'm on the road, rolling all over America. And when the sun comes up, honey, I'll be running when I hit the ground. Suitcase down when I get to town, cause I'm gone a lot and I know I'll be leaving real soon. And I don't know just where I'm bound, but someday I'll come back around and you know I'll be looking for you. Yeah, I'm sure to be looking.